are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here on this Monday victory episode. 49ers improving to 6-0. They barely scored more points than they have wins on this season with a 9-0 victory at the Washington Redskins. Hope you bet the under in this game. And I sort of felt bad for any Redskins fan who paid for tickets to that game. 49ers fans, I think, at least got their money's worth, got to see their team in. If you live in the D.C. area, you don't get to see the 49ers very often. So, or anywhere on the East Coast, really. If you traveled, got to see the 49ers win, got to see them slide around and celebrate like they were playing that game at a water park rather than a football stadium. So, 9-0 49ers win in Washington, improved to 6-0 and remain atop the division and the entire NFC. So, I'll break down my game notes here, give out some game balls in this Week 7 matchup, as I do on Mondays. Win or lose, I bring you the episode on Monday. It's been fun this season having all Victory Monday episodes, though, and fans are fired up, traveling well, showing up well at Levi's, 4-0 on the road. What's going on here with your San Francisco 49ers? More on what's happening with this team right now, at least this weekend on the field. Follow me on Twitter at BDPeacock, LockedOn49ers.com. You can find this podcast in all your favorite places. If you want more of me, you can listen to Locked On NFL, which I co-host along with former NFL scout Matt Williamson here on the network daily. So let's start with, I guess we got to start with the defensive line, right? Which has been sort of the headline position group every game this season for the 49ers. Solomon Thomas getting the start at defensive tackle with DJ Jones out. He did have a couple of penalties in this game, jumped off sides, bad roughing the passer call in the third quarter, bad as in, I hate that that is called roughing the passer, and I saw it around the league, people angry on Twitter about almost every single team, or at least every single game, there's one call that's like, what? How do you throw a flag on that? We got to do something about this. The offseason before the 2020 season, there's got to be a summit. They've got to get together and decide how they can throw less flags and still have player safety as a priority, because it's out of control. It's just, it's nuts. There's just some really stupid penalties being called around the league. Nick Bosa, he had 5 tackles, I think, in the first 2 drives of the game. 2 tackles for a loss into the game, I think, with 7 tackles, and really capped the game. It was the game-sealing sack of Case Keenum, belly slide celebration, his teammates joining in, Kyle Shanahan saying he felt like he wanted to join in and slide with them on the field to celebrate that victory. Such a wet, sloppy game, just a really weird game. And it started with Nick Bosa being a madman on the first drive, ended with a Nick Bosa sack to seal the victory for the 49ers, and such an amazing photo by one of the USA Today photographers. I got to find out who, what it was. Jeff, who was it? He deserves a shout out, because it's like photo of the year of the 49ers just sliding toward the camera with Case Keenum on his knees in the background, who had just, Jeff Burke of USA Today, and there's a series of photographs here. There's one that's really making its rounds. I think I might use one of the different ones just because I want to use a different photograph than everybody else is using today when I make this blog post and I post this podcast up. But shout out to Jeff Burke, really getting some nice photos in. Luckily for him, they were sliding right at him when he was shooting those photos at the end of the game from the sideline. And a number of great photographs with dudes just all muddy after the game. And it was coming down. There's a lot of bad weather football games in the NFL, but that was one of them that was just, it was stupid wet and soggy. Does that field not drain well compared to other fields? Or was it just really raining that hard? You could tell it was raining hard and it was windy, but at times it kind of let up and I didn't think it was going to be that wet, but it really affected the game. It was not a normal football game, which I think actually helped Washington, at least it helped Washington's defense to an extent, but in the end, the 49ers were just a better team, and the Washington Redskins just could flat out not move the ball. Dee Ford, unblocked for his four and a half sacks now in the year for Dee Ford. I don't know what happened on that play. Quentin Moses, the right tackle for Washington, just didn't even move. He just stayed in his stance. He's like, oh yeah, you can go ahead and kill my quarterback. No problem, D. It's all good. And the third quarter, Eric Armstead collected a sack, 3.5 sacks now for him, which is a career high. Which, you know, I think fans know that Eric Armstead hasn't been a big sack collector in his career. And he's been beat up a lot by fans for that, beat up a lot by because he's been hurt and not being able to finish seasons. But he's playing at a level that he hasn't played yet in his career, and it's nice to see some stats to go along with it for Eric Armstead. Unfortunately, he's going to earn himself too big of a contract for the 49ers to re-sign in the offseason. But Eric Armstead really making good right now for the 49ers in his fifth year and putting together quite a season. 3.5 sacks now on the year for Eric Armstead. And that sack particularly was a big play because it got the 49ers the ball back after a bad Jimmy Garoppolo interception. And more on Jimmy Garoppolo. Actually, let's just jump into Jimmy Garoppolo here because... And I think the story of the game and a lot of people talking about Jimmy Garoppolo as the last few weeks, as he's been a problem for the 49ers. And I don't see Jimmy Garoppolo being a problem at all. He's definitely not putting the team on his back. And I mean, in this game, you can't even evaluate a quarterback, really. How are you going to, I mean, look what the other quarterback did. They had 0 points. You know, the 49ers at least moved the ball a little bit, got his team into scoring position. There were some drops. It was so sloppy. Those conditions, it's really hard to evaluate people in that sort of an atmosphere. But let's start with actually really getting it done with his feet, Jimmy Garoppolo, early in that game. Scrambling a few times. He had 4 rushes for 20 yards on the day. One of the better rushing efforts for the 49ers out there on that sloppy, wet field. He had the best yards per carry for the 49ers, averaging 5 per pop. Second was Matt Breida. He had 4.4 yards per carry on his 8 rushes, but then left the game. He had concussion protocol, which he was cleared from, also got poked in the eye, and we never saw Matt Breida again after that in the second half. Tevin Coleman, he picked it up at the end of the game a little bit. He had 20 carries. He really carried the load for the 49ers, only had 62 yards on his 20 carries, averaging 3.1 a pop. For a while, he was averaging 1.8 yards per carry earlier in the game. And I said on Twitter that it looked like he was tiptoeing between the pool and the hot tub at some points. But later in the game, somehow, maybe he changed his cleats. I don't know what it was. Seemed to be running harder, had a little bit better footing, or running with more confidence later in the game. Maybe it's just because they're running out the clock and he's like, look, I'm just going to get downhill and I'm not worried about making a big play. I'm not trying to tiptoe around and find a hole. I'm just going to hit it. And keep the chains moving, keep the clock moving. So maybe that change in attitude was what Tevin Coleman needed. But early in the game, he just did not look like he was confident out there on his feet on that wet field. Jeff Wilson Jr., he looked good. 4 yards per carry on his 5 carries. He had the one near fumble, which was slightly scary just for a minute. But it turns out that the umpire was not set. So there was a no play. So he got to get out of jail free card. And actually, for how wet that game was, I was really surprised that there was only one fumble in that game. And that was from Adrian Peterson. I was supposed to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo and I got sidetracked talking about the 49ers running game there. But so let's talk more about Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he deserves most of this next segment because I've got a lot of notes on Jimmy and how he looked. And, you know, I just don't think you can really take much from what we've seen from Jimmy Garoppolo, maybe even on the season, but especially in this game. This podcast is brought to you in part by Peloton. Peloton has a limited time offer. Get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. Go to onepeloton.com and use promo code LOCKED to get started. All right, this is a good time to tell the fellas out there about Blue Chew. Guys, do you remember when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up, BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach, and since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Now, this isn't just for guys who can't perform. It's for any guy who wants extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. For instance, most guys talk a good game, but if you're one and done, Blue Chew can even help you follow through for round two. Blue Chew is prescribed online and ships straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor's visit, no waiting in the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. And they're made right in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On to try it free. Blue Chew is the cheaper, better, faster choice. BlueChew.com, promo code Locked On. We thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Are you losing sleep at night over your unfiled tax returns or the large amount you owe the IRS or any other state tax agency? Does it feel like you're trapped and that these tax problems will never go away? Are you worried the IRS will garnish your bank account or your wages? Do you want to be free and put these tax problems behind you? Greg's Tax Service is your local tax resolution specialist. Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for over 25 years and is passionate about helping their clients resolve their tax issues and to get them all the deductions and credits they're entitled to when preparing their tax returns. Call or text Greg's Tax Service at 925-778-4871 to set up an appointment to find out the best options available to free you from your tax problems. Again, that's 925-778-4871. Call or text to set up an appointment, and if you qualify, they can help you settle with the IRS for less than the full amount you owe. Remember, Greg's Tax Service for all your tax needs. Greg's Tax Service is your local tax advocate, standing up and defending the rights of taxpayers. Find him online at gregstaxservice.com. Okay, I do want to get to Jimmy Garoppolo here, but since we talked 49ers running backs, we talked about the defensive line, let's talk really quick about Adrian Peterson and the Washington offense, and really both offenses. There was just no wide receivers involved in this game. There was very few passing yards total, and a lot of the passing yards were tight ends and running backs. So obviously both quarterbacks aren't going to have big numbers. And when you look at what the 49ers defense has done the last 2 weeks, when you take out sack yardage, so just looking at net passing yards, I think it was, 46 or 48 yards last week with Goff. And on Sunday for Case Keenum, it was 50 yards. So less than 100 net passing yards for the last 2 weeks combined is just crazy. And obviously, you know, there's an asterisk next to this game just because of the weather and the conditions on the field. But Washington just flat out didn't move the ball after the first series. And the first series was all Adrian Peterson. And when I saw this game, because I knew there might be some wetness and some rain in this game. I didn't know the conditions were going to be like that. And when the game started and I saw how wet it was and I saw Adrian Peterson running at the beginning of the game, I was thinking, you know what? Oh, no. This might be the perfect storm, literally, for Washington to upset the 49ers, because it really takes the game script out of it, and it might get weird. And I think the rain benefited Washington more than it benefited the 49ers, because you have a back like Adrian Peterson, and the 49ers have more speedy backs. And I think we saw a little bit of that, especially early in the game. And Washington came out, which is smart. They tried the blueprint that the Rams used on the first series last week, and it was all run plays, just 100% run. And the Skins ran down the field on the opening drive against the 49ers. Adrian Peterson, 14 yards in his first carry. Niners did finally get P. Peterson and the Washington offense stopped at about the 15-yard line. Bosa sniffed out a read play to the wide receiver on third down, and despite having 6.8 yards per carry on that drive on the ground, the 49ers stopped them, forced them to try a field goal, which Washington missed, and long drive, no points, and that would be pretty much the last time Washington practically got a first down in that game. Later, Peterson stuffed by Bosa for a loss of one to start the second drive. That was a three and out. Second quarter, Bill Callahan electing to go for it on fourth and one from the San Francisco 30-yard line. I think that was the only other time that Washington was able to drive a little bit. So I like that call, and it's aggressive in that game when it's 0-0. I kind of like that call from Bill Callahan, but the 49ers just wrecked him up front on that play. Julian Taylor getting his first action in a while. He'd been inactive for a few weeks. He knifed through. He made a couple of big plays in that game. He knifed through, and it was among many 49ers that were in the backfield there. Ronald Blair, another one, to hit Adrian Peterson behind the line of scrimmage, and that was a turnover on downs. Late in the third quarter, nice run by Adrian Peterson. They tried to get something going there, beating Quan Alexander around the corner, but that very same drive, Adrian Peterson would fumble. Quan's revenge, knocking the ball out. Julian Taylor would be the one to recover that one, and rumbled for a bit, and basically that was the first and only fumble of the game, which is quite surprising. There was a few drops by receivers, but after the first drive, the 49ers did well against Adrian Peterson. His overall stats were okay as a runner. He had 81 yards, averaging 4.1 yards per carry with 20 carries, but most of that, again, came on the first drive, which is a carbon copy of what happened last week against the Rams. 49ers getting stout against the run after the opening drives of the game, this time not relenting any points on the first drive or any drive of that game for Washington. So obviously, the 49ers defense, run, pass, whatever, is just doing a fantastic job and fixing things. They're figuring out what a team's doing early, and they fix it. And that's been really impressive. So you got to shout out the coaching staff, because the 49ers are really out-coaching teams, I think, on a weekly basis right now, which is exciting. To Jimmy Garoppolo, is Jimmy Garoppolo outpassing teams on a consistent basis? Big debates about that going on right now on Twitter. I certainly don't think Jimmy Garoppolo is a problem, but I think he's 12-2 as a starter for the 49ers, so that's the bonus. And I'm not a big QB wins guy, and obviously a lot of the wins this season have come because they've got a good ground game to go with it. They've got a good defense to go with it. We haven't had to see Jimmy Garoppolo put the team on his back. So to a certain degree, you have to kind of treat Jimmy Garoppolo like he's a young quarterback that started 14 games for his team. You know, he started a full season of NFL games if you count his two starts for New England. He's 14-2. That's a pretty darn 16-game start to your career. So to argue that he's a bad quarterback is tough. He's completing 68% of his passes. Definitely too many interceptions. You'd like more big plays, more touchdowns. He's got 7 touchdowns to 6 picks right now. If you look at that throughout the season, if you extrapolate out his first 6 games here to a 16-game schedule, he'd have 3,500 yards passing, 19 touchdowns, 16 interceptions. That touchdown to interception ratio, not good. That has to improve for sure. But he hasn't played bad football. He hasn't hurt the team. And I think third downs is one of the keys. They've still been able to move the football. And he hasn't gotten a ton of help from outside. Like, his leading wide receiver every week is like 3 catches for 36 yards or something like that. I think Debo's had the best wide receiver game, and that was in week 2. Was it week 1 or week 2? Yeah, week 2 against the Bengals, he had 5 catches for 80-something yards. There's been a couple of big plays. There's a big Marquise Goodwin play earlier in the season where he leaked out and had a long touchdown catch. There's been a couple of other big plays. There was a 40-yarder from Richie James in this one, but just not a lot of plays being made on the outside, which is a combination of things. Which is why maybe that's the position the 49ers try to trade for in the next week or so before the trade deadline next Tuesday. But that's a topic that we will touch on later in the week. Let's focus on this game for Jimmy Garoppolo. Third down efficiency, I think, is a big one. 7 of 16 in this game compared to 3 of 9 for Washington. And when you look at 49ers as a team on third downs, I think it's one of the best things Garoppolo has done for the 49ers. They're a top 10 team on third. I think they're 9 in the league right now converting third downs on the season. And defensively, they're a top 3 team allowing opponents to convert on third downs. And if you look at the last 3 weeks by themselves, they're the number 1 team in the NFL in third down conversion rate on defense. So the 49ers are doing things on third downs right now, which I think is one of the biggest keys to starting the season 6-0. Back to Jimmy Garoppolo's performance Sunday. There was the Marquise Goodwin drop early. I mean, it's very wet. Goodwin getting checked for head injury, by the way, and he would come back in the game, I think. So a couple of players, Goodwin and Breida, both checked for head injuries. Both were cleared in that game. Jimmy G was the ground attack early. Scrambled for 11 yards to convert a 3rd and 7. Looking like Steve Young to start the second quarter, avoiding a sack, picking up 7 yards. And then converting another first down on a quarterback sneak. But obviously in the rain, the offense was out of sync early. Garoppolo missed Pettis pretty badly on a play. Ross Dwelly had a drop, slipped through his breadbasket. There was a fumbled snap. Niners had to settle for a field goal in the second quarter on that drive, even though they were moving down the field. In the second quarter, the 49ers offense had a 3-and-out. After the 4th down stop by the 49ers defense, when they got the ball back, Garoppolo threw to Kittle, incomplete over the middle. Multiple defenders there. I mean, I don't know where else he had to go on that one. He found a little pocket for Kittle. You know, could have got him killed, crushed over the middle. He didn't get hit that hard, but he did get hit as the ball was arriving, and it would be incomplete. And they really tried to force the ball to Kittle. And it just wasn't happening for George Kittle. It just wasn't happening for the offense in that game for the 49ers. It happened enough for the offense that they got down the field 4 times and hit 3 of 4 field goals. So what are you going to do in that condition, in that wetness, in that storm? It was just hard to evaluate anything with Jimmy Garoppolo. By the way, that was one of the fastest, it had to be the fastest first half I've ever seen. Like, that game could have been over in 2 hours if there wasn't commercial breaks and you know, a long halftime and all that stuff, because that was nuts. Garoppolo was 3 of 10 for 10 yards in the first half. It would get better in the second half. More on that and game balls coming up. This episode is brought to you in part by Greg's Tax Service. Honest and straightforward, Greg's Tax Service has been in the business for 25 years. They can help with any number of tax problems, including unfiled returns, back taxes, IRS collection, and audit representation. Find out more at gregstaxservice.com. Third quarter, things picked up slightly for the 49ers offense. Garoppolo found Kendrick Bourne. Kendrick Bourne actually looked like one of the, I think, steadier wide receivers with his feet on that turf. And Richie James, another one, a 40-yard catch and run. And really the first involvement Richie James has had in the offense in a couple of weeks. He also had a nice 14-yard punt return in that game. I think we found out that Jeff Wilson, maybe Matt Breida, Richie James, and Kendrick Bourne, those might be your mutters on the team. Those guys seem to be moving a lot steadier than the rest of the skill guys on the 49ers offense. By the way, Richie James, a lot of people killing Richie James because there's a few punts where he didn't catch him and maybe they lost some field position. But, I mean, in those conditions, I would be fine with my punt returner never try to catch a punt in those conditions, because if you muff a punt there, that hurts you way more than anything else. Wind, rain, if there's anybody around you, any doubt at all, let it drop. I'm totally fine with that. And by the way, of all punt returners coming into this week that had at least 10 returns on the season, Richie James is number 1 in punt return average. So I don't know why people are hating on Richie James. He's doing just fine as a punt returner for the 49ers. I love them trying to hand it to Kittle on a tight end around late in the game. He would slip and it would be a tackle for a loss and wouldn't work. But they're trying to figure something out down there to get working. And maybe instead of throwing it to him, they're like, look, we'll just hand it to our best player and see if he can do anything. Didn't work, but, you know, just not Kittle. They tried to get Kittle involved. Smart to try to get him involved. Just was not happening for whatever reason. But anyway, that set up another Robbie Gould field goal. Garoppolo would end 12 of 21, 151 yards, no touchdowns, and the one interception. The one interception, by the way, he was looking for Dante Pettis, and it was a, I think it was like a double move, a sluggo, slant and go on the left sideline. by Pettis. He looked like he was open when he let go of the ball, but the ball just hung up there. There was plenty of time for safety Troy Apke to come over and undercut the route. It was a little short and inside, which is not good. I think if Garoppolo would have put it out to the outside shoulder, more to the sideline, they might have been able to complete that ball to Pettis. Maybe you could argue Pettis could have helped his quarterback, maybe going up strong like a rebounder with two hands and competing for the ball at the catch point there. Instead, he tried to do the over-the-shoulder catch. But that's nitpicking Pettis. I think you got to blame Garoppolo more than Pettis on that one. You know, it's a bad throw, bad decision by Garoppolo there. But in bad conditions, Garoppolo did enough for the 49ers to win that game 9-0. Let's give out some game balls. I love that after the game, Kyle Shanahan gave a game ball to his father, Mike Shanahan. There was definitely some bad blood there with the Shanahan family and Kyle seeing his dad get fired with him on the staff by Dan Snyder and Washington ownership, Washington front office. So my game ball is going to go to Kyle. Gave one to his dad. I'm going to give one to Kyle. Kyle Shanahan gets a game ball here. I talked about earlier on the show how the 49ers have been out coaching their opponents. Last week it was Robert Saleh who got a game ball. This week I'm going to give it to Shanahan because they figured out a way to win this football game. Weird conditions in a game like that, so much water on the field, the ball could squirt out, bounce odd. You could tell that it took the 49ers out of their game plan. That could go south on the road, and it didn't for the 49ers. They stayed together, they figured it out, and they pulled out a win, and they blanked the Washington Redskins, came out with a win. The second half was better. Whatever they did in the second half, figured out maybe putting some different guys on the field, maybe Richie James just not heavy enough to sink into the turf there. Maybe that's why he was a water bug and able to rip off a 40-yard catch and run. But whatever they figured out, it was enough to get into field goal position four times, hitting three of those field goals for the 49ers to win that game. And a little revenge game for House Shanahan, Game of Thrones style. After the game, some of the muddy players with beards, and I think it was Mike Person. There's a really good photo of him. Definitely looked like it was a scene from Game of Thrones in some instances. So props to Shanahan, revenging his family's name. He gets game ball number one. And my second game ball, really it's 11 game balls. It's just the entire defense. Last week I gave it to Robert Saleh to represent the defense. I want to give it to the players this time. The defensive line, like Bosa, everybody, just everybody on the defense, reserve, starter, whatever, should get a game ball in this one. I want to break down the drives for the 49ers. I talked about how there was that first long drive of the game, exclusively running the football. It ended in a missed field goal for Washington. Washington ended up with 8 drives in that football game. That was number one. And, you know, it was raining. Neither offense could do much, but Washington did a lot less. And I think that was pretty telling. Drive number two for Washington, 3 and out. Drive number 3 for Washington was the 4th down stop. Drive number 4 for Washington, 3 and out. Drive number 5, 3 and out. Drive number 6, that one ended in an Adrian Peterson fumble. They moved the ball a little bit, but they weren't necessarily taking it to the 49ers on that drive. Big play by Kwon to knock it out, and Julian Peterson to pick up that fumble. I'm still surprised that was the only fumble in that game with as wet as those conditions were. Drive number 7, 3 and out. Drive number 8 lasted 2 plays, gained 0 yards, ended with the Nick Bosa sack, end of the game, everybody goes for a slide on the wet turf. That was the drive chart for the Washington Redskins in that football game. They really got nothing going on offense aside from that first drive, and the 49ers did enough to hold them to a field goal attempt in which they missed. Niners, 6-0, and a massive part of that is the defense is playing just absolutely lights out. I don't think there's a defense in the NFL that's playing as good as the 49ers. I take the 49ers defense over anybody in the league. I think the 49ers have been tested even more than that Patriots defense. We'll see on Monday Night Football if they keep their unbeaten streak alive. But right now, the 49ers, one of 2 unbeatens in the NFL, and the only undefeated team in the NFC at 6-0. And by the way, the Seahawks lost, so the 49ers now have a two-game advantage on everybody in the NFC West. And when I say everybody, two games on Seattle, three games on the Rams, and even the Cardinals are 3-3. There's no team with a losing record right now in the NFC West, but the team on top is your San Francisco 49ers at 6-0. All right, that's going to do it for me on this Rapid React, another Victory Monday here on the program. Be back tomorrow with a Locked On 49ers mailbag. What do you guys want to talk about? You want to talk trade? We're a week out from the trade deadline. Do you want to talk about Garoppolo? How do you feel about Jimmy G? Do you want to bench some guys? Do you want to see some people step up? Any opponents coming up on the schedule that worry you? Hit me up on Twitter at BD Peacock. Email LockedOn49ers at Gmail. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.